So this is where this is taking place. It's at Ephesus. And the reason that's important is because of the fact that, you know, in every church, not just Ephesus, there's always going to be doctrinal issues, people who come in and try to teach weird stuff. But even in the age in which we live, it may not necessarily happen here, but there's tons of it on the internet. Where you have these guys who are like self-ordained. You know, you have the Brian Dunglingers of this world, the Robert Breakers, you know, these weirdos who are self-ordained. They have these online church ministry or something, the church in the clouds or whatever, you know, where they're teaching God's word, they're perverting judgment, and, you know, they give themselves credibility. And let me just say this is that, look, folks, I'm thankful for the internet. We have a YouTube channel. There's tons of people who listen to our preaching online, and thank God for it. But if all that was removed, guess what? I don't get my credibility from a YouTube channel. In fact, I already got my credibility when I was ordained by another pastor of an actual church. You know, like the biblical model, which is that pastors are supposed to send out pastors, churches beget churches. So another one approves you as being the man fit for the job, lays hands on you, and sends you out to do the work of the Lord. We don't get ordained online. And I'm for YouTube. I think it's great. I think social media is great. We can reach a lot of people. But that doesn't necessarily give us the credibility. What gives us the credibility is the man of God who is ordaining you for that job. Understand? And so what we see here, though, is the fact that he's telling them these things. He's saying, look, stay at Ephesus, charge them that they teach no other doctrines. Verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. And he's basically telling them, hey, make sure you're preaching this, you're charging them. And then he says in verse 6, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings. Okay. Now, what is vain janglings? Well, later on, we'll see in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 5, he talks about vain babblings. So janglings is the same thing as babbling. You know, you ever met someone, they just say a lot, but they're not really saying anything at all? They have a whole lot to say, but not a whole lot of substance to what they're saying. They say a whole lot of content, or they have a lot of words, but the reality is, it's just a bunch of vain jangling, okay? Just mark it down. When you see someone like that, what are they doing? They're swerving, okay? Why? Well, because of the fact that when we preach God's word, it's supposed to be plain. Not jangling, not a bunch of noise. It's made plain. We preach the word. We're in season, out of season. We reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So if these things are important to us, we're to put the cookie on the bottom shelf for everyone. But when you have someone just saying all types of things and you kind of walk away wondering, well, is it by calling upon the name of the Lord or is it not? Just mark it down. That person's trying to confuse you. That person's filled with vain jangling, vain babblings.